Hello and welcome to our broadcast. We continue today talking about Paul and the pastor in Crete. His name was Titus. Stay tuned. Broadcast, we were comparing chapter 1 of the book of Titus, where there were some people in verse 11 who were teaching things that they ought not to be teaching. They were called vain talkers, and Titus had a responsibility to rebuke them sharply. So they were speaking, it says, verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Well, what is Titus, the pastor, supposed to do? Well, he's supposed to speak too, it says in chapter 2. And verse number 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So back here it says in verse number 14, they were giving fables. What is a fable? A fable is something with no solid foundation. And so Titus, what are you going to do? You are to speak, the word is, sound doctrine. Now, in our last broadcast, we gave about 10 references in the Bible where they were speaking boldly. There's not much bold speaking today about what is going on in this age of apostasy. Now, if we keep this book in its context, in fact, 1st and 2nd Timothy and the book of Titus, the context is the local church. And we saw in our last program in 1 Timothy 1 and 3, there was people that in the local church that they were teaching other doctrine. And then in 1 Timothy 4 and 6, there was some who were teaching things that were contrary to sound doctrine, because it says in 2 Timothy 4 and 2, the time would come when they would not endure sound doctrine. Now, it's one thing to look at the doctrine that has to do, say, with music. There's a controversial issue. It's not hard to understand what that issue is all about if you take some time and put it into it. But it's a little more difficult to understand than the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation is a no-brainer. It is very plain and it is very simple. However, in this age that we are living in our fundamental independent Baptist movement today, we have been flooded with another doctrine, with a doctrine that is contrary to sound doctrine, and that other doctrine is a new plan of salvation. Now, there are some things in the Bible that are not as easy to understand, as we said. However, God has made the way of salvation so plain that a child can understand it. God's plan of salvation was plain and simple for about 2,000 years. However, when our focus changed from individuals being genuinely born again to a focus of reaching crowds, we began to experience the promotion of the common salvation that Jude warned about in Jude chapter 1. He said, and Paul warned about it in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7, where he says there are some that would pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, influential preachers began to spread their common salvation plan far and wide, and the masses of so-called fundamentalists who were too shallow to study the Word of God for themselves began to choose sides. As we mentioned, Jack Hiles from the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, and Curtis Hudson, who was then in charge of the Sword of the Lord, they came out with this damnable heresy that says you don't have to repent. Now, The sad part about that is that our pulpits have been strangely silent. They have changed the plan of salvation. And they, oh, you don't have to repent. Well, why did they say that? Well, you can't get people to come and join you if you're going to tell them they have to repent. People don't want to repent. Just pray a little prayer and join the group. We'll throw you in the baptistry and give you a bus route. And they get involved. There's all kinds of people in our churches today that have prayed a little prayer, and they think they're saved, and they have never repented. They have just been sold a sales program. Well, what is the plan of salvation? We have to talk about that a little bit so we see how plain and simple it really is. Salvation begins with hearing the Word of God. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Romans 10:14 says, "How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher?" Luke 8:13 says that they on the rock are they which hear the word with joy. In Acts chapter 15:7, it says, "The Gentiles," Paul said, "by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." In Luke 8:12, it says, "Those by the wayside are they that hear the word, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved." Well, that's pretty simple. Salvation begins with hearing the word of God. The second part of the salvation plan is the Holy Spirit then convicts the sinner of his sin. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse number 8, "When he," the Holy Spirit, "is come, he will reprove the world of sin." Romans 2 and 4 says that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Acts chapter 11, verse number 18, "They glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." We read in 2 Timothy 2 and 25 that God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And so, number one, salvation begins with hearing the word of God. Number two, the Holy Spirit convicts the sinner of sin. Number three, the sinner then, at that point, will repent or reject the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted." Mark 1:15 says, "Repent and believe the gospel." Jesus said in Luke 13:3, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:5, he said it again, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Repentance is simply responding in a positive way to the Holy Spirit when we are convicted of sin. There is not a person in this world who is saved if he or she did not repent of their sin when convicted by the Holy Spirit. Acts 17 and verse number 30 says, "God commanded all men everywhere to repent." That's pretty simple to understand. Now, the fourth thing is the result of repentance is a changed life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When a person repents, that person becomes a new creature. The Greek word there translated creature has been translated creation 6 times. When a person repents, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. When someone is genuinely saved, he or she will have, one, a new love for the Word of God. Romans 10:8 says, "The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." John 8:47, "He that is of God heareth God's Word." There's a new, genuine love for the Word of God. Second, there's a love for the people of God. 1 John 3:14 says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. There's a new desire for the will of God. Romans 6 and 4 says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And then there's a new peace with God. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who was genuinely saved wrote that little chorus. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. To understand repentance is simply to understand the order in which things happen when a person is saved. Number one, they hear the word of God. Number two, they are convicted of the Holy Spirit. Number three, they repent. And number four, there is a changed life. There's God's plan of salvation. Well, in this age in which we're living, we decided we're going to change that. And we came up with what Jude calls a common salvation. And he said in Jude 1 and verse number 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude 1 and 3. Now, the word translated common in Jude 1 and 3 is koinos. The word was used by the Jews concerning something that was unhallowed, something that was profane and unclean. In Mark chapter 7 and verse number 2, it is translated defiled. In Romans 14 and 14, it is translated unclean 3 times. In Hebrews 10 and 29, it is translated unholy thing. Well, we look in your commentaries, and everybody seems to say that Jude changed his mind. That is absolutely nonsense. Jude did not change his mind. What Jude was writing about was the common salvation that had infiltrated into the church. The Bible refers to a great salvation in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3, and then it refers to this common salvation, Jude 1 and verse number 3. In Jude's day, the apostasy had turned God's great salvation into a common salvation. It was a salvation that was defiled, unclean, and an unholy thing. Therefore, Jude said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He said, I gave all diligence. He said it was needful to earnestly contend for the faith. This word needful has been translated distress 3 times in the Bible. Over 100 years ago, Gypsy Smith warned about our new present-day plan of salvation, this common salvation. In his message entitled Repent Ye, he said this, quote, I am afraid that in our zeal to get people into the kingdom or the church, we have lowered the standard. I am afraid that in our zeal to get people in what we call the church, we have been more anxious about heads than hearts. In order to capture, we have compromised and lost. We have been more concerned about filling our church registers than we have about the kingdom. Unquote. Gypsy Smith, over 100 years ago, said that. He also said, and I quote, Christ never made it easy, and the man who makes it easy to be a Christian preaches a mongrel gospel, unquote. Years ago, A.W. Tozer warned about our present-day common salvation. Tozer said, and I quote, the crowds at any price mania has taken a firm grip on Christianity and is the motivating power back of a shockingly high percentage of all religious activity. He said, in our eagerness to make converts, I am afraid we have lately been guilty of using the techniques of modern salesmanship. Unquote. Well, we read in Jude chapter 1 and verse number 3, it was needful for him to write and that we should earnestly contend for the faith. We're going to talk in our next broadcast about how to contend for the faith. Be sure and tune in.